So this morning I'm going to speak to you about the light of the world bringing peace. And I take you back to Isaiah chapter 40 and the very first verse. Comfort, comfort my people. When we find someone who's in distress, feeling anxious, facing challenging circumstances for which they don't know or whether they should go this way or that way, struggling to see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's that first word of peace that can be so important and so powerful to bring a sense of calm, to restore some sense of well-being, to provide some hope, but most importantly, to bring peace into that situation. There are six dimensions to this particular passage in which I've recognised there are aspects of how God brings peace into our lives. And the first is by speaking words of comfort, words of peace. The second is the proclamation that for Jerusalem, her sins have been paid for. What's that all about? Well, Jerusalem is symbolic of the people of Israel, God's chosen people. And the declaration of the prophet Isaiah is that the people's sins have been forgiven. I want to say to you that this is the most powerful expression of peace. That is God's word of grace to us. Your sins are forgiven. Now, you and I might struggle not only with the things that we've done that have been wrong, that have been hurtful to others, that have caused destruction to our own lives, but often we wrestle with the guilt of that. I want to say to you today that God's grace is sufficient, in fact is abundant, in releasing us from the power that sin would have over us. God's gift of grace is a gift of peace. It restores us in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God's gift of grace is a gift of peace that we can share with others. It's not by accident that after we have the declaration of forgiveness in church, we then have the passing of the peace. It naturally flows on from that, because once you and I have received and recognized God's gift of grace to us in the forgiveness of our sins, we then have the opportunity to bless others by saying, "The peace of the Lord be with you." That is saying that there is no issue between you and I. I am sharing with you God's grace. Often we put out our right hand to show, well, traditionally in older times when the handshake was considered to be a way of greeting someone, I come with no weapon in my hand. And the shaking of the hand was the greeting of peace. Whether we shake each other by the hand or give each other a hug, that expression of God's peace for each other. So the first one are the words of peace, words of comfort that we might bring to someone. The second is God's gift of grace to us and the opportunity that we have to share that grace with others. The third is the prophetic truth that there is one who is coming. Prepare the way, says Isaiah. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The truth of God's word is for us a word of peace. The fulfillment of that prophecy which is yet to take place would bring peace to God's people in the time of Jesus and since. In verse 8, the prophet speaks about the grass withering and the flowers falling, but the word of our God endures forever. That is, there are seasons. And not every season is a season for growth and flowering and fruitfulness. Even our lives have seasons. We're here for but a short time, and then we're gone. But the enduring power of God's word is that it goes on forever. That means God's word is steadfast. It's like an anchor in the storm. It can hold us in place when we're being buffeted and bashed around by the wind and the waves. We can take hold firmly of God's word. It brings peace. And then the fifth dimension is in verse 10. See, says the prophet, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. Now we might think of God's power being something overawed and overarching. And we might cry out for God to be expressing his power in more ways of interrupting the bad stuff that's happening in our world, intervening in situations where God's love and God's provision needs to be made so much more abundant. We see people starving. We see people suffering from drought. We see people whose lives are devastated and displaced by war and conflict. God, where are you? God, show your power. The sovereign Lord comes with power, not just in a way that might be visible in a mighty way, but God's power comes gently as well. The power of God's love to transform lives. The power of God's grace to bring freedom to people who are bound up in whatever those things might be, perhaps addictions, perhaps a conflicted family situation they feel they can't escape from. God is powerful, and God's power is released by the prayers of God's people. And that's you and I. And it's a prompt for us to intercede, to stand in the gap for, to pray for others whom we know so desperately need God to be at work in that circumstance, in that situation. Whether it be in one person's life or in a whole nation's life. And then finally, the expression of peace that comes in that image that's given by Isaiah. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Or he gently leads the mothers, was read to us in the translation that was brought. This image of shepherd is an image of peace. One who stands sovereignly before us to guide us, lead us through life, to safeguard and protect, to make provision for. And we recall Psalm 23 in which David, whose life experience was that of a shepherd caring for sheep, he was able to express in the most beautiful words what it meant to be a carer of sheep. But not just his own experience of being shepherd of sheep, his own experience of the Lord God being his shepherd. And we have some of those images caught up in these couple of phrases about the shepherd leading his flock, carrying them close to his heart. And I'll pick up that image again in just a moment. God is speaking peace through the prophet Isaiah. And in Mark chapter 1, we see the fulfillment of some of the prophecy that Isaiah proclaimed. Speaking of John the Baptist, the one who preceded the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who made the way for him. He was the one who was declaring, make way for Christ the King. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We come back to that starting point of John bringing people into a relationship of peace with God. How? By calling for repentance and bringing people back into a restored relationship, that they would be forgiven and experience the grace of God, symbolized by the act of baptism. Baptism for the repentance and forgiveness of sins. John was a proclaimer of God's peace. Even though he was an affront to the religious establishment, even though he questioned some of the religious leaders who came seeking him in the wilderness. I'm not sure that John himself was completely at peace, though, I reckon if I was wearing a camel hair gown, I wouldn't be real peaceful. I'd probably be scratched most of the time. But the message that John had was clear. He was to precede the Messiah. And these words are written of what John says. After me comes the one more powerful than I am. And then he says, I am not even worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. I want you to get a clear picture here of where John places himself in relation to Jesus. John doesn't say, and Jesus and I are good mates and we get along and I'm doing the first act and he's doing the second act. John is saying, the one who's going to follow me, I am not even worthy to untie the straps of his dusty, dirt-filled sandals. John is a proclaimer of the powerful one who is to come. And how is that power evident? John says, I baptize with water, but the one who follows me will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And this is the hinge point for understanding all of what the prophet says and what John proclaims. It is the Holy Spirit who makes real in our lives the truth that Isaiah is proclaiming and the truth that Mark is recording in his gospel account. God may declare the forgiveness of sins. Jesus may die on the cross for our salvation. We might hear this truth over and over, but unless the Holy Spirit makes it real for us and we take it for ourselves and say, I believe, that it remains simply an empty promise, unfulfilled in our living. It is only when the Holy Spirit makes it real for us that we're able to appropriate this gift of God's peace, reconciliation in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, the power of God at work in our lives, not only to make real for us this peace, but enabling us to be channels, agents of this peace for the sake of others. That we might, like the prophet, declare and speak God's words into the lives of others. Comfort, comfort, God's peace be with you. We might feel so darn helpless to provide a practical help in enabling a person to move from whatever their circumstances might be into a better situation. But we can share the pain with them, sit with them, and speak words of hope and comfort. That is, we can be God's mouthpiece, speaking peace into their lives. That image at the end of the passage that was read to us from Isaiah captures the essence of the shepherd, God being our shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And here we have this measure of sacrifice, of a shepherd caring for the sheep that he knows, that he owns, that he loves so desperately, willing to give of his life in order to protect and save the life, the lives of the sheep. And returning to Isaiah, but chapter 9 this time, beginning at verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then in verse 6, the prophet continues, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This promise of the one who is to come is Christ the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas and whose life of reconciliation we celebrate every day because of the gift of peace that he brings to us. And there are times when you and I are not conscious of how much power and influence we have in the words that we speak. But I want to remind us today that our words are powerful in the context of our households, our communities, our community of faith, the places where we relax and enjoy leisure activities. We can speak words of life, or we can speak words of oppression, of put down, of criticism. We can speak words that bring disharmony, discord. We can bring words that fracture relationships. Christ is calling us to speak words of peace and hope into the lives of those around us. I was gobsmacked this week when President Trump decided that he thought it would be a good thing to declare that Jerusalem was the capital city of Israel, sparking the conflict that's happened now between those who are in Israel who are of Arab descent and those who are of Jewish descent, stirring up a conflict that didn't need to be stirred up. It would seem that wisdom would be one who encourages the peace process to continue to take place, the dialogue to continue, for wherever the capital would be to be negotiated as the two-state solution was worked out. Now you might think, well, Trump's far more powerful than I am and far more influential. I just want to remind us that in the circles of influence in which we live, we have that same destructive power to speak words that fracture, that dislocate, and that bring about disunity. And that we would be reminded this morning that we are to be peacemakers. For blessed are those who speak the words of peace that Jesus would have us speak into the lives of those around us. In the name of Christ, amen.